Mark 3, verses 1 through 6. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word to us now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your inspired, inerrant, infallible word. We pray, O Lord, that by your Spirit you would help us to understand the things that are taught here, that you would apply those teachings to our hearts and lives for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we continue our study in the book of Mark, and it's interesting that this follows right after another passage about the Sabbath, beginning in verse 23 in chapter 2 and going to the end of that chapter. And as we look at this passage and see that it also deals with the Sabbath, it appears to be an event that happens shortly after that. We look at it and say, okay, Sabbath teaching is present here and emphasized in some of the context. And so at first, we might be looking for this passage to give us a lot more about the Sabbath, to expand the teaching about the Sabbath that's here. It does so, but not in a big way. And some of the teachings that are important in this passage are other than those about the Sabbath. Certainly, we see here that Christ does a miracle on the Sabbath. He does a healing of this man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. We certainly see the Sabbath as an issue between him and the Pharisees. Now, but that we've already seen. That's already established in the previous passage. And so, as we look at it and try to understand it, we're going to understand it not only in terms of the Sabbath teaching, but also in terms, especially on the one hand, of Christ's compassion, and on the other hand, of the hard-heartedness of the Pharisees and others of his opposers. So, as we begin going into some of the details, the hard-hearted Pharisees are watching Jesus closely when there was a man with a withered hand there, and Jesus was there in the synagogue on the Sabbath to see whether Jesus would heal him so that they might accuse him. I just want you, just on the basis of that setting, before anything is done, observe the animosity that these men have toward Jesus. They're looking for an excuse to accuse him, to bring charges against him. And the way they perceive this man with a withered hand is as an opportunity for them to accuse Jesus. That's part of their hard-heartedness. that they don't see the man as a man with a withered hand who has needs. Now, we know that we're not able to help everybody with all of their physical needs, much as we might like to. And we see things all the time and where maybe our compassion and sympathy is drawn out, but we're unable to do anything concrete to heal at all. And the Pharisees, certainly, they couldn't. So maybe they were used to not even thinking about such things, which raises the question for us, do we think about the people that we know who have similar difficulties? Do we think about them with compassion and sympathy and with a longing that they could be healed, but of course an inability to do that ourselves? I mean, these Pharisees should have been regularly in ongoing fashion sympathetic to this man's plight, so much so that in contemplating the possibility that Jesus might heal him, they would have rejoiced at the very thought. And yet they did not. And that's at least a part of the hard-heartedness involved here. It's interesting. I don't know exactly how far they got, we're not told, with making this occasion a part of their accusation at a later point. For Jesus did indeed heal the man. But it's interesting the way he healed him, isn't it? Let's see. Jesus tells the man to step forward. Okay, is there a lot of sin that they could even claim involved in him telling the man to step forward? No, that's something that you can do. That's stepping forward is something that does not involve unallowed, even by the Pharisees, work on the Sabbath. Asking him to do that does not entail work on Jesus' part. And then, with regard to the man and the healing of him, he said to the man, verse 5, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Where do you fault Jesus in that? And the only way you could do so, the only way the Pharisees could do so, is say that he expended power on behalf of this man to heal his hand. He didn't touch the man. He didn't manipulate his hand. He didn't do what even the Pharisees would have recognized could be done on the Sabbath in certain situations. He didn't do anything to heal him. Some of the Pharisees would have said you could only do such things in facing imminent death or something like that. But Jesus told the man to stretch out his hand. Not ground for charges. That's what they wanted. That's not what Jesus gave them. But here is this man with his hand restored as whole as the other. Pharisees didn't rejoice. They didn't love, did they? They didn't care particularly about the man. What did they do? Verse 6 says, "Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him." So I want to talk about compassion first, because Jesus is showing compassion and the Pharisees lacked it. Compassion is obviously what's going on, but just in some of the additional wording of the passage, we see in Jesus' question to the Pharisees in verse 4, and here's the question again. "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" We see in Jesus' question that doing good and saving life and in the context, compassion are always good and lawful. Now, the question is not answered, it's merely asked, but it is clear that the answer Jesus intends, and that's clear, if nothing else, from what he does in answer himself, that he's saying, yes, it is lawful on the Sabbath to do good and to save life. It is lawful to do those things. So however you understand the Sabbath commandment, and we believe it still continues valid in our day, except we apply it to the first day of the week when Christ arose, rather than to the seventh day when the Father rested. Christ rested from his labors on the first day of the week and entered into his rule in heaven, in a sense, and certainly reigned as the resurrected Lord from the first day of the week. But that is the reason why we celebrate that day rather than the day on which the Father rested from creating. It's lawful to do those things. Compassion and doing good and saving life are always lawful, always good. They become always a duty, don't they? Is that a duty we need to ask ourselves that we are conscious of and that we actually give obedience to? The duty to have compassion, to care, to do good as we're able, to do good especially to those who have need. Do we save life as we're able to do that out of compassion? Those are always good, and by always I mean always in several senses, but particularly inclusive of the sense of doing it on the Sabbath. You just can't say, as the Pharisees were prone to saying, that doing good on the Sabbath is bad. No, doing good is good, even on the Sabbath. That doesn't mean that that legitimizes everything that might be done on the Sabbath that would seem to be okay on other times. But those things that are a good show of true compassion are lawful on the Sabbath. It informs us on the requirements of the Sabbath, what they really are, what really is or is not forbidden on that day. But it also informs us about compassion in general. Compassion is a Christian duty. But not only is it a Christian duty, it typified Jesus. That was characteristic of his life, to show compassion. He did that in many healings. As you go through the Gospels, one of the things you see Jesus doing over and over and over again is healing, along with casting out demons. He even raises people from the dead. He is showing compassion constantly. He is here among his own people and showing compassion constantly and regularly. Yes, he does that oftentimes in forms that testify as to his power. He shows compassion in miracle working, in supernatural things like casting out demons. But he constantly shows compassion. And we're to recognize that as a part of the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, and that he was regularly doing it even on the Sabbath day, though the Pharisees regularly wanted to accuse him when he did that on the Sabbath day. But there is Jesus showing compassion. And we can't even think about the compassion of Jesus in the sense of these miracles and healings and such as that, without also having our thoughts raised higher to the compassion that he showed to sinners. For he came to to die for sinners. He came showing God's compassion and His own for sinners like you and me. For people who deserve God's condemnation and Christ's condemnation and judgment, who nevertheless, Jesus compassionately died for. You know, there are times when we look back at ourselves, we catch ourselves having failed to show compassion on one instance or another when the cost to us would have been insignificant entirely. And we look back and we say, why didn't I do something? I could have helped right there, and I didn't. But here's Jesus, when the cost was His life, when the cost was the pain not only of the physical agony of the cross, but the greater pain of being abandoned by His Father on the cross, having His Father turn His back on Him as He poured out wrath on Him that was deserved not by Him but by us. And so it is a costly compassion that Jesus shows to sinners like you and I. In compassion and doing good and saving life are always good and lawful. Yes, even on the Sabbath. But hardness of heart, to take the other side of it, and doing evil and killing or murder, which are the contrasts in verse 4 and the hardness of heart in verse 5, are always sinful and always unlawful, and especially on the Sabbath. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? They wouldn't answer that. I mean, that's, you know, I teach Sunday school classes where I ask questions. I teach Bible studies where I ask questions. Others of you do the same thing. And sometimes you ask a question and everybody's silent because your question wasn't formulated well, or it was too tough a question. It's just really hard, required maybe knowledge above what they had at that point. Maybe because the teacher hadn't taught them enough at that point. But not the case here. This was an easy question. There's not one of you in here, not even the children, who are not able to answer this question correctly. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? None of our children are going to say, I think maybe it might be to do evil and to kill. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's thinking that. But nobody answered Jesus. It wasn't because they didn't know the question. It was because they didn't want to in any way be involved in the guilt they were hoping to be able to heap on Jesus if he did heal. They didn't want to in any sense authorize or approve of what He might be doing. So they couldn't even say, it's okay, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. It's lawful to save life on the Sabbath. They couldn't bring themselves to say that. And Jesus noted that. Verse 5, it says, He looked around at them with anger. Compassion toward you and me, anger toward these Pharisees. And then it goes on. And it's interesting the verb forms in the Greek in this. Looking around with anger was an act that was concluded right then. But then the other part is something that is in a verbal tense that talks about a continuation or carries that idea. Being grieved he was grieved. It wasn't just a flash of grief. It was an ongoing sadness, grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Jesus is still grieved by hardness of hearts. He was at theirs, which even implies something of compassion toward these people. Indeed, we don't know which Pharisees were involved here, but it might have been some of those that later found salvation in Jesus Christ. It might have been some of those for whom Christ died that here angered Christ, but also stirred up something of his compassion even towards sinners being grieved at the hardness of their hearts. What a sad thing hardness of heart is. We find it in ourselves sometimes. We mentioned some things already, times that we recognize maybe afterward that we could have shown compassion with very little effort and we didn't, and we come back and we maybe are grieved ourselves at the hardness of heart that allowed us to do that way. But here Jesus is grieving at the hardness of these hearts. And it was indeed great hardness. They didn't care at all about the man with the withered hand. They didn't rejoice at all when he was healed. And that's part of that hardness of heart, but there's a different hardness of heart going on, isn't there? What kind of covenant member of God's people hardens their heart at the presence of the hope of Israel, at the presence of the promised Messiah, at the presence among them and the God-glorifying work of the Messiah who is promised to them for their salvation and for the salvation of Israel and for the salvation of the world, the fulfillment of God's covenant promises. And they hardened their hearts to that. And so do men in our day. And so do people even within Christian churches harden their hearts toward Jesus Christ. Not that most of them are seeking an occasion to accuse him. But don't we harden our hearts when we choose not to do things that we know that God intends for us to do? When the Holy Spirit is working in us against the promptings of temptations, and we close our hearts to that prompting of the Spirit and grieve the Spirit in our hardness of hearts as we make the choice sometime to sin. Hardness of heart is an awful thing. Hardness of heart, doing evil and killing or murder are always sinful and unlawful, and especially on the Sabbath, as in this case. But we need to recognize, too, where the hardness of heart was going and what Jesus was saying about it in this case. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And what did they do on the Sabbath? It's not just that we know the answer on the positive side is to do good, but we also know the answer on doing evil and killing, and that's not good, that's not lawful. And the Pharisees were on this day, above everything else that the text tells us about them, seeking to do evil and to kill. They were looking for an opportunity to have Christ done away with. They were planning to bring up his death. And Jesus knew that. He's not saying these things just in a way that coincidentally lines up with what's going to be going on. But Jesus, in his question of them, is not just eliciting a response about healing on the Sabbath. He is also addressing them about their intentions of evil and murder on the Sabbath day. Two different views of the Sabbath, right? The Pharisees' view, it's okay to plot to kill Jesus, but it's not okay to heal. And Jesus' day, where it's okay to heal, but not okay to murder or plot murder. If we had been there among the Pharisees, or not among the Pharisees, but just among the people, would we have been there with hardness of heart? Are we here now with too much of hardness of heart? Not just hardness of heart about sin and temptation, which sometimes happen. Not just hardness of heart in terms of lack of compassion towards people, but hardness of heart about our Savior and what He died for. Hardness of heart about the importance of the kingdom of God and its expansion. The importance of the gospel and its being heard, spread to all the earth. A hardness of heart to the need for sending out missionaries and training men for the ministry and training men for being elders and deacons for that matter and men and women for teaching in the church. Do those things matter for us? Does our own calling, your own calling, matter? What are the gifts God has given you for use in His church? Are you using those intentionally? Or in some of those areas, do we show hardness of heart? In the call for Christian giving, which is necessary for so many of these things, do we harden our hearts and instead get caught up? And it's too easy to do, and I confess I have done it, as I'm sure most of you have, get caught up with worldly things, cares, desires, and we, in all of those things, reflect at least less than softness of heart toward the gospel and towards our God and towards our Savior. And so we are called to have soft hearts in every way, to repent of whatever hardness of hearts we've shown. I'm sure it's not the same with each of us, but to repent of what has been there and to ask God by His Spirit to soften our hearts and to give us compassion toward not only those who suffer, but as we saw was the greatest display of Jesus' compassion, compassion toward the lost, compassion to those without Jesus Christ, compassion to those who are on their way to an eternity in hell of God's condemnation. Does that elicit our compassion? Are we satisfied that we're going to heaven and that we can gather with other people who are going to heaven and we can feel like we are soft of heart towards God and that we respond to everything He calls us to do? But we know we don't. We know we don't repent as fully as we should. We don't serve as much as we should. We don't give as much as we could and should, and we don't care as much as we should. Lack of compassion. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I don't think that's what Christ was trying to do with His other hearers at this point, but rather that Christ teaching by His words and action here would draw us to a greater compassionate openness to the plight of those who suffer, but the greater plight of those without Jesus Christ. It matters. It matters if they hear. We can do it, yes, it's okay to do it on the Sabbath, and it's okay to do it on the other 6 days of the week to tell people about Jesus. It's okay on the Sabbath if you think you can't tell people about Jesus. It's okay to bring them to church with you on the Sabbath so that they hear the gospel in the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And it's okay. It's good. It's never sinful to show compassion in all the various ways we've talked about, and to do good and to save life, not just in the physical sense, but in the eternal sense as well. Christ had that compassion. He had that compassion towards you. He calls us all to that compassion as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, for his wonderful grace and love and compassion, for the compassion that he showed the sick and the demon-possessed, and for especially his compassion towards those who were hell-deserving sinners, whom by his work found salvation and redemption and were called to everlasting life and become even in this life the children of God. Lord, help us to learn from our Savior, our compassionate Savior, to learn compassion, to learn to care, those who suffer, but also to care about those who are headed towards condemnation. We pray, Lord, that we would care enough to actually work under our head and king for the expansion of his kingdom and the bringing in of new souls to salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray in his name. Amen.